1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Trump holds a rally shortly at New York City's Madison Square Garden, where Ying Tan from Brooklyn is attending.
I think he's a strong leader. The United States needs a strong leader to lead our people to the next level.
Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is in Philadelphia. Earlier, she taped an interview with CBS's Face the Nation.
I support Roe versus Wade being put back into law by Congress, and to restore the fundamental right of women to make decisions about their own body.
A suspected terrorist attack in Tel Aviv, at least one death, several others hurt after a truck rammed into a bus stop near the city. At the scene, ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
Police are saying this is a suspected terror attack. They say that the suspected driver of the truck, they believe, is an Israeli Arab citizen.
The Russian army thwarted an attempt at another cross-border invasion by Ukraine. This is ABC News. Just as police and paramedics were wheeling away a shooting victim to a hospital in Chicago this weekend, at the shooting scene, the alleged gunman returned.
The offender was shot multiple times by the officers. The officers recovered the gun from the offender and rendered aid.
Chicago police say the alleged gunman is 23 and in critical condition. The shooting victim was wounded in a shoulder and was treated and released from the hospital. Most of America turns clocks back an hour next weekend. Not often do you hear about the head of a big corporation asking for lower pay, but with the amount that leaves him, don't cry for me, Argentina, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
CEO Satya Nadella asked Microsoft's board of directors for a pay reduction after a series of cyber attacks at the tech giant. He was given $79.1 million in compensation for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, about $5 million lower than it would have been without the security breaches.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Medicare open enrollment is underway. It's also that time of year when you can enroll in Marketplace coverage or your employer-sponsored plan. Here's Mike Moen.
Advisors say reducing healthcare costs involves more than focusing on monthly premiums. Should also compare a plan's copays and deductibles. Adam Van Spankeren leads the team of navigators at Covering Wisconsin, which helps people understand and sign up for publicly available health insurance and similar programs. He says reading notifications this time of year is vital because a small, subtle difference could end up being a big shocker.
So you might be used to going to your doctor year after year and then find out that they're actually not covered by your plan anymore. And that's got to be the most kind of disheartening and surprising thing. People often discover that when they go to get care.
As for Medicare, original plans don't cover prescription drugs, so what's known as a Part D plan is needed for medications. Starting in 2025, these will include a $2,000 cap on what you pay out of pocket for prescription drugs covered by your plan. Health policy analysts say there can be trade-offs when deciding between a traditional Medicare coverage option and a Medicare Advantage plan. Advantage plans tend to cost more, but Dr. Rhonda Randall with UnitedHealthcare says they're worth considering.
Things like dental, vision, and hearing. Many Medicare beneficiaries might be surprised to know that original Medicare doesn't cover most of those things, but many Medicare Advantage plans do.
About 56% of Wisconsinites signed up for Medicare have Advantage plans. Program enrollment runs through December 7th. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies, breezy south winds up around 20, highs in the lower 60s. Tonight we'll see partly cloudy and breezy conditions with lows in the low to mid 40s. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy, highs in the middle 60s.
It's 60 at our studios.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, President Biden apologizes for the atrocities of the Indian boarding schools. Also, why won't the LA Times or the Washington Post endorse this election cycle? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
First up on this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a little from the Todd Alba Show. Todd got to help break the news this week that longtime state senator Robert Cowles is voting for Kamala Harris. He welcomes to the show Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution on Civic Media, to talk about his interview with Cowles. You can hear Robert's interview as a podcast or read all about it in the article by Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer at civicmedia.us.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer. It is Thursday, October 24th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along with us. Big show today. Right now, we are honored to be joined live via telephone by the host of Rational Revolution, which can be heard right here on Civic Media every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., big story by Mark Becker, a big scoop. Jane Matner and Greg Bach broke the news on their program just before we came on the air. Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Glad to be on the Civic Media World Headquarters here this afternoon.
Well, you know, they tell me I'm not supposed to oversell that anymore. So, you know, we try to remain humble.
It's awesome. What's up, man?
Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Before we get into this breaking news, tell folks just a little bit about your background and how you came to be a host of Rational Revolution.
Well, the show was hosted previously by Chris Alfheim, who's a good friend of mine. I was a former chairman of the Brown County Republican Party. I also was a local elected official, and I kind of started speaking out about the direction of the party, where things were going during the rise of Donald Trump. I left the party, and, you know, I did some things. I had a dust up with my old friend Ron Johnson about his, you know, consistent election denialism. It was great, good fun. And when Chris announced that she was running for Senate, she asked that I take over her beloved Rational Revolution, which I did with great honor, and that's why I'm here today.
Well, your journey is an admirable one, and you know, myself, former Republican, I left the party in 2011. I've got my own story. People on this show have heard about it. We don't need to talk about that, but I'm more interested in your story today. How did you come? Have you known State Senator Rob Cowles a long time? How did you come to get it? It is truly a scoop, and I congratulate you on that. This is a big story, and how did you get it?
Rob is a dear friend. I've known him since. I mean, he was my state senator since I was born. I grew up in Alloy, but when I started becoming involved in politics, I met him and we became friends. And I've always respected his ability to think for himself and think about what's right for the people he represents and not necessarily the party first. He's always done that. And so when I started to speak out about things, my old friend Rob, you know, we stayed in contact, and when things started happening with Donald Trump, he expressed some frustration to me, and I kind of just allowed him, if you ever want to talk about it, you let me know. Mm-hmm. And things kind of came to a head, as he said on the show, if you want to listen to it. It was for this John Kelly thing. We were going to record it today, but mm-hmm. he called me up and he was like, I am so mad. I'm so mad. I want to do this right now. So I was at my house. It was my day off. And I'm like, okay, to the studio we go. and he just aired all of his grievances, and he did it really well. I'm really, really eternally proud of his courage. And I'm so proud to call him my friend. So he did great.
Well, again, congratulations on getting this story, and we're proud to have you here at Civic Media. You can hear the entire episode you're welcome on the our podcast. Go to civicmedia.us and Rational Revolution or wherever you get your podcast. It's up now. You can also read the entire story written by our own political editor, Dan Schaefer, based on Mark's interview here on this show. It's a great read at civicmedia.us as well. Rob Coles, longest-serving Republican, also longest-serving, now that Fred Risser retired, longest-serving state senator in the building, has endorsed Kamala Harris for president. This is big news, Mark.
It is big news. Yeah, it is big news. And, you know, and he knew that it would be big news. And, you know, he's also calling some people that are kind of like-minded to try to push them to do the same thing as well. And we're working on some more to see if we can, you know, keep this momentum going. But this took him, he knew where his priorities were and he knew where mm-hmm. his thoughts were. It took him to get that courage to do it. And he did. And I'm so proud of him.
Let's listen if we could, Mark. I know we got about, I think, three clips here kind of queued up. Zomers is on the board here. Let's take the first one. Again, this is a sitting Republican state senator Rob Coles, longest serving Republican, longest serving state senator in Wisconsin, right now talking to Rational Revolution, Civic Media's own Mark Becker, in an exclusive interview talking about how he came to this decision to endorse Kamala Harris.
You know, I look back at all the people that I supported for president before I was there were a couple. I voted for Republican for president every time.
How about this time?
Well, we're not doing it this time.
I mean, that, you know, I know Rob Coles a little bit myself. I mean, that's about as blunt as he gets, right? I mean, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, when he says something, he means it. Let's give another one of these clips. Here's another clip from this exclusive interview, Mark Becker and State Senator Rob Coles.
And I believe this guy, Trump, is a totalitarian and very much a fascist. And he's, you know, the old adage, past is prologue. He's indicated that in his words and deeds, especially in trying to overturn a free and fair election.
I mean, he puts it right down there where the chickens can get at it, so to speak. I mean, you know, doesn't mince words. And that's one thing I've admired about Senator Coles for a long time is when he doesn't get up and give a lot of floor speeches, but when he does, they're meaningful.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And if, you know, you listen to the whole thing, he talks about his time in that audit committee on the 2020 election. And he talks about what they went through trying to, you know, well, not he wasn't trying to find the fraud, but there were people that were trying to find fraud to which they didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they, you know, Trump continued and continued. And so did Ron Johnson, continued pushing and pushing and pushing when there was nothing there. And he got in, and Rob takes it personally. Mm-hmm. When Trump comes to Wisconsin and says that I won the election, there was so much fraud. There was so much because he knows there was none.
Right.
And so he took that deeply, deeply personally. And Rob, he called me when, you know, he would watch the speeches and he would, can you believe this guy? And it's like, I mean, I don't believe him, but I believe him. You know what I mean?
You brought up Mark, and talking to Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. This is such a great interview. You can hear the whole thing on Saturday or now on demand, wherever you get your podcast, Rational Revolution. You brought up, Mark, the audit committee. And Senator Cole's been the chair of the audit committee for, you know, pretty much since God was a boy. And he worked so closely with Jan Mueller. And those two were seen as never partisan, always protecting the taxpayer and the citizens of Wisconsin. And people would take things to the audit committee. And it was a little bit like Bob Lang. If Jan Mueller and Rob Cole said it was true, it was true. And for Senate Majority Leader, current leader, Devin Lemieux, to take Rob off of that committee, to take his chairmanship away, that to me was a huge signal that the current iteration of Senate Republicans have no interest in serving the taxpayers and the citizens, only themselves.
Well, and I would say that, you know, the current Republicans don't even serve themselves. They serve Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said this before on my show. I've said this before that the Republican Party is the party of litmus tests and loyalty pledges. They don't do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. They don't do what's right for who they represent. They do what's right for you know, the leader of their party, who is a convicted felon. Look at here in Wisconsin, we have a guy running for Congress that put Donald Trump's name above his own on his yard sign. He's Trump endorsed Tony.
Talking about really weird weed up there in the 8th District, where I hope that Dr. Lyerly beats him like a drum.
I do too. But that's the Republican Party today. They do not serve, you know, the people. They don't serve the party platform for you know, they serve Donald Trump.
One more cut here. This is, again, our very own Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution, talking to current State Senator Rob Coles, who is endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
I really think it's this is the most important, one of the most important things I've done. And hopefully people will accept that and listen to me, those that have trusted me and, you know, believed in me, will think about that. And if they're undecided, we have to make a change here, and Trump has to be defeated, and we have to protect the Constitution, and the country will go on, even with some liberal things that Harris might do or may not do. So,
but at least the country will remain.
You have to have the foundation of the Constitution and protect democracy. If you don't have that, we will disappear.
You know, again, there is State Senator Rob Coles endorsing Kamala Harris for president with Mark Becker on his show, Rational Revolution. You can hear the whole thing on Saturday at 2 p.m., or you can hear it on demand at civicmedia.us or read the story there by our own Dan Schaefer. Mark, again, I've known Rob maybe not as long as you, but for quite a while, and I'm sure this was difficult in some ways, but also he's a man of honor and character, and I give him a hell of a lot of credit because there aren't too many people from our former party who have this kind of courage.
No, and I think that really is something that I want people to understand with this, from people on the left to people on the right, people in the center. I mean, this took a lot. Mm-hmm. There was a certain state representative that, you know, I shared this news to, and she said to me, well, that's easy, you know, since he's leaving office. It's like, no, it's not easy. It's not.
Yeah.
Because there is retribution and other things. It's so great job to Rob.
Absolutely. Great job to you. Congratulations, Mark Becker. Great scoop for Civic Media. We appreciate it. 2 p.m. every Saturday afternoon, Rational Revolution. Great get. Come on back. We've got Matt Flynn after this. Thank you, my friend.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Alba Show.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
episode.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Dom Salvia Show, where this week Dom welcomed on Bill Press, podcaster, pundit, and political prognosticator, along with Earl Ingram, to check in on the presidential race. And as Trump showcases his obscene, absurd, and embarrassing nature, the double standard for the candidates.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Got Jess on the board. Got Earl Ingram. You can listen to him 8 to 10 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. And super jazzed to introduce to you our friend Bill Press. He's a pundit, he's a podcaster, and he's a prognosticator, and he's a friend of ours. You can find him on the Twitter at BillPressPods.com. Hey, Bill, welcome back. Good to see you, man.
Hey, Dom, good to see you. Hello, Earl.
In the last hour, Earl and I were talking about the town hall from Kamala Harris from yesterday. I want to get your sense of how you think the vice president is doing in these last, 11 days and less than 8 hours until this presidential election.
I think she's doing great. Democrats who want to be, Monday morning quarterbacks. I'm particularly thinking about David Axelrod. Jesus, come on, I thought Van Jones said it great last night. Trump gets to be lawless, but she has to be flawless.
Yes.
I mean, what are we about? We got dumping on our candidate because, according to David Axelrod, he may not have answered every question perfectly directly the way he wanted. I mean, I thought she did great. And I particularly thought it was good, to lay out there. Yeah, he's a fascist. I believe he's a fascist. His chief of staff, Marine General John Kelly, says he's a fascist. James Mattis agrees with that. General Milley, they all say he's got fascist tendencies. So I thought that was her strong point. I thought she also really identified well with people, when she's talking about her own faith, her own personal life, losing her mother. She's for real. Donald Trump could not have done that. And by the way, she had that all to herself, let's not forget, because Donald Trump is afraid to debate her again.
Yes.
Afraid to appear on stage with her again. Afraid to appear on 60 Minutes. He won't even appear with her on Fox, right? So I think she's closing strong. And I know we got a lot to talk about. The other thing I just say, we can get into it later. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that she's spending time with these disaffected Republicans. I think that could be a key slice to a win on November 5.
It seems like the bar is set really, really high for the vice president and really, really low for Donald Trump. And not just with the media, but even I think to some degree with his own supporters. Do you agree with that? And why do you think that is?
Well, look, today, one more woman, maybe number 25, yeah. I've lost count, came forward and accused him of sexual abuse. But you know what? Nobody cares. I mean, certainly his supporters don't care. I mean, he could be accused of pedophilia or proven, right? And they would still say, oh, yeah, but he's better than voting for a Democrat. I mean, it's just obscene. It's absurd. It's embarrassing. I don't get it at all. But you put your finger on something. As a member of the media, okay, as a journalist, I think the media it's shameful the way they've covered this campaign. They haven't endorsed Donald Trump, but they might as well have. Because to me, they treat him seriously. They take him seriously. They treat him like a normal candidate. and they basically either ignore or downplay. They call it sane watching is a phrase, which
yeah,
I hate.
Yeah, sane watching.
This crazy stuff that he says, you know, like just this week, he said Kamala Harris wants to ban cows.
I mean, that's not a go over well in the dairy state, Bill.
Right, here you go. He said she wants to ban new buildings with windows. So we're going to, I mean, this is crazy stuff. Yeah, and then he says, that's just like, we can laugh at that. Then he says he's going to send the military in against enemies within. And it gives examples of Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi,
yeah.
Jesus, and Adam Schiff. I mean, that's really seriously dangerous. That's why the fascist term applies. But, you know, look at the New York Times. Now, Peter Baker has been doing great stuff, but basically the headline writers at the New York Times just will say, oh, Donald Trump said some interesting things at a rally. Yeah, he talked about Arnold Palmer's penis size.
Very interesting for some people. Yeah, how is this relevant to anything ever, Bill?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll never order another Arnold Palmer in a restaurant.
Folks are listening to the Tom Salvia Show. That is my friend Bill Press, my friend Earl Ingram joining us as well. Just PS on the board. Bill, unless you put some vodka in it, I'm not having one either. The Republican tour, the disaffected Republican tour, is in full force. And Harris has been to Wisconsin more than once with Liz Cheney. I've seen some of the pundit, you know, class lament that perhaps she should be focusing more on, you know, Barack Obama and that side of it versus spending the time and the effort with Liz Cheney. And I think timing, you know, is a thing, and it could be a valid, you know, at least opinion. What's your opinion on that, Bill, especially knowing that we only have 11 plus days left?
Well, look, she's reaching out to everybody, right? Barack Obama, he's the best. And maybe Michelle's the best, but between the two yeah. of them, it's a race for the top. And Barack Obama's out there, God love him, maybe just about every day. You know, he's going to be out with her, I think, tonight, right? He's been out with Tim Walz. Michelle's going to be with Kamala Harris in Atlanta this weekend. So they're reaching out to Black men, Black women, young women, I mean, across the board. Tim Walz is particularly reaching out to union organized labor, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Working men and women. So there's nobody, I don't think, that's being neglected. But this Republican slice, here's why I think it's important. I think the voices of Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, and even those like John Kelly, who haven't said, well, I'm going to vote for Kamala, but right. We know they're not going to vote for Trump, and they've said some really strong things against Trump.
Yeah.
I think what they're giving Republicans is a permission slip. You can still be a Republican. You can still be a good Republican. You can, but just this one time, vote for a Democrat, because we got to get rid of Donald Trump so we can rebuild the Republican Party. They don't have to reach 95% of Republicans. They need to reach like maybe 5%. So I think we got all the pieces in play, I believe, right now.
Folks, that is Bill Press. This is the Dom Salvia Show. We got Earl Ingram Jr. joining us as well. We got Jess P.S. on the board. We're going to take a quick break now, come back. And I want to talk. Earl brought up a question. What happens? How do we, once we get past this election, Bill, I want to get your opinion. How do we bridge the divide? How do we come back together as a country? How do we have faith in each other and in our election system? And in the news and in the information that we are consuming, come back with us, 855-752-4842.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Trump holds a rally shortly at New York City's Madison Square Garden, where Ying Tan from Brooklyn is attending.
I think he's a strong leader United States need a strong leader to lead our people to the next level.
Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is in Philadelphia. Earlier, she taped an interview with CBS's Face the Nation.
I support Roe versus Wade being put back into law by Congress and to restore the fundamental right of women to make decisions about their own body.
A suspected terrorist attack in Tel Aviv, at least one death, several others hurt after a truck rammed into a bus stop near the city. At the scene, ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
Police are saying this is a suspected terror attack. They say that the suspected driver of the truck, they believe, is an Israeli Arab citizen.
The Russian army thwarted an attempt at another cross-border invasion by Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers lose to Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, Wisconsin led 10-7 at the half, but number three ranked Penn State came back to win 28-13 last night in Madison. Wisconsin falls to 5-3. Penn State remains undefeated at 7-0. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
Yeah, it's a good football team. You know, our objective was to get the thing to the fourth quarter play, put ourselves in position, and we did that, and then we didn't, we didn't execute in the fourth quarter. And in some ways, the things that we pride ourselves in, the body blows, that take a toll, maybe got us in the fourth quarter, but there was no lack of fight. There's things we got to do better, that we got to create some turnovers defensively, and then we got to find ways to capitalize on the big plays we do make on offense.
NBA Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. crashed his car into a Yankee Hill apartment yesterday in downtown Milwaukee. No one was hurt. Jackson expected to be with the team in New York when they play the Nets tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies, breezy south winds up around 20, highs in the lower 60s. Tonight we'll see partly cloudy and breezy conditions with lows in the low to mid 40s. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy, highs in the middle 60s.
It's 60 at our studios.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former Illinois Congressman and former Tea Party member Joe Walsh. He's a firebrand, and he's going to light it up about why your vote matters more than ever.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Matt Nair on Air is up next, and this week Jane and Greg welcomed in Susan Rice, former National Security Advisor and UN Ambassador, to discuss just what a second Trump presidency would mean on the national and world stage.
Good, good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by former UN Ambassador Susan Rice. She was also the U.S. National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. Looking forward to talking with her about what's at stake in this election. And I'm also curious to ask her, because obviously she's dealt with many world leaders over the course of her career, and just how dangerous it is to have a United States president who is easily swayed, it seems to be, by flattery.
Yes. Yeah. And
that seems like a vulnerability.
It definitely doesn't seem like something that would make me want to vote for that person.
While we're waiting for Susan Rice, texter Dave from New Berlin texted in, "Good morning, you guys. Sometimes I work. This is the first time I've seen you on YouTube. Did you guys get new studios? What's the story?" I believe Susan Rice is ready to join us.
Yes.
And yes, Dave, we did move. We're in Racine now.
Yeah, we are.
We'll have more details about that in just a little bit. Again, waiting to be joined by former UN Ambassador Susan Rice. She was also the U.S. National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. Susan Rice, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you. How are you?
We're wonderful. Thank you. So much to cover. I'm sure you're very, very busy. Tell us, first of all, what is at stake, in your opinion, in this election? What are we looking at as far as the future of America?
Oh, my goodness, Jane. It couldn't be more serious. We often hear, we're old enough to remember people saying, oh, this is the most important election of our lifetime, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And everybody rolls their eyes and says, okay, I really, truly believe that's the case this time. And let me explain why. There's so much at stake. There's, you know, the direction of our country in terms of our economy. There's the question of whether we will have preserved and extended our fundamental freedoms, such as the right to determine what happens to our own bodies, the right to love who you love and marry whom you want, the right to vote and to be protected from, you know, extreme gun violence. But there's also our democracy on the ballot. And in Donald Trump, but we have someone who has been very explicit that he wants to exercise, in his term, extreme power to terminate the Constitution. This is all his language, to be a dictator from day one. And now, frighteningly, we are hearing him say repeatedly and unabashedly that, in his judgment, the greatest threat to the United States is not Russia, not China, but the so-called enemy within. And basically that's every American who disagrees with him and doesn't subscribe to his extreme MAGA agenda. And what's worse is that he has said repeatedly that his intention is to use the US military against the enemy within. And there's nothing more fascist than that. It's a recipe for civil conflict, turning the military against our population. It's extreme. And we now have a circumstance where, you know, if he were to return to power, people who were law-abiding and believed in the Constitution, who served in his first term, people like General Mark Milley, like General Jim Mattis, who was the defense secretary, like General John Kelly, who was his chief of staff, won't be there. Mike Pence won't be there. He'll be surrounded by sycophants and lackeys who will go along with his extreme decisions to violate the rule of law and upend the Constitution. And the worst part is that the Supreme Court has now said that the President of the United States is immune and in effect has impunity from prosecution for acts committed while president. So an unhinged, unstable Donald Trump, who's clearly losing his grip, who's got an extremist approach that is completely anti-democratic and indeed fascist, as John Kelly, his chief of staff, has said, and as Mark Milley and Jim Mattis have said, will be without any constraints around him or from the Supreme Court. And that's a terrifying prospect. And that's why truly, in addition to all that's at stake with respect to the economy and freedoms, which I'd love to talk more about, this is the most consequential election that we're facing. And so we really, truly need to get out and vote like our lives depend on it, because, you know, truly they do.
If you're just joining us, former UN ambassador, also national security advisor, Susan Rice is joining us, and we're talking about what's at stake in this election. Let's go back to the economy for just a second, Susan. Donald Trump has talked about tariffs and how great tariffs are, and we're going to tariff so much that we're just going to be swimming in money that's going to pay for everything. We are actually going to talk to someone tomorrow who is an expert on tariffs. And there also have been numerous, isn't it, like six economists have come out and said Donald Trump's plan is going to either push us into a recession or a depression.
Well, absolutely. I mean, his tariffs, which are for him the answer to everything. It's how he proposes to raise revenue and deal with every problem under the sun. It will be, according to all the top economists, extremely inflationary, and will harm the economy and set us back. But, you know, the other thing is Americans are struggling with high costs as it is. You know, we have the strongest economy in the world. We have the lowest inflation of any major economy, but it is still very difficult for folks to, you know, to deal with everyday prices, whether for housing or food or anything else. And Donald Trump's tariff proposal, which is to slap up to 20% tariff on everything coming into the United States, your food, your toys, your electronics, your oil, would amount to an additional $4,000 of costs, a tax in effect, on the average American family every year. Nobody can afford that. So higher inflation, $4,000 tax on the average American family, and destabilizing what is now remarkably, in macroeconomic terms, the strongest economy in the world.
It's really difficult to talk to people about the, because we try to talk about the economy in the broadest terms of saying, look at our inflation, look at the jobs, look at all these points. And it does always come down to the fact that it's about the groceries on the shelves. And that's one thing that, you know, we try to put across too, is that we're looking at like things like price gouging and price hikes, how that's harming the people, and how we believe Kamala Harris is going to try to work to keep that from happening versus Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to care all that much, just thinks, as we've said, tariffs will do all the work.
Tariffs fix everything. And we...
Right. Tariffs fix... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's like tariffs are the financial Band-Aid for everything. And it's just, you know, and that's all we need to do. And not to mention what that would do to our farmers. You know, we're a big agriculture state in Wisconsin, and our farmers would just be decimated by this.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things wrong with the tariff concept. First of all, it is not something that foreign countries pay. Yeah. This is the biggest fallacy of all.
Right.
Foreign countries do not pay for the tariffs. The American people pay for the tariffs. What happens is a country sells, let's say, you know, bananas, to a United States buyer, a U.S. company. The U.S. company has to pay the costs, and they pass that on to the American consumer. So the notion that this is somehow penalizing foreign countries is completely wrong. It is a tax on the American people. So that's the first problem with it. Secondly, it's indiscriminate. You know, we're going to penalize, you know, close friends and allies like Canada to the same extent we punish, you know, a hostile country. And that makes no sense. How do we expect our friends and allies whose partnership we need to deal with the greatest threats we face, whether from Russia or China or Iran, to continue to want to work with us when we are screwing them and their economy for no good reason. I mean, it makes no sense. It's the worst possible policy.
And that's something I wanted to bring up with you as well. It is safe to say you spent a great deal of your career on the world stage watching all sorts of situations either happen or keeping them from, whether it's war, invasion, just all those worldwide events happening. Have you ever seen anything like what we're about to step into, a situation where we might walk out of NATO, a situation where we're cozying up to dictators all over the world? I mean, I feel like the supporters of Donald Trump do not understand the impact that that will have on America and then the world.
Absolutely. Now, this is deadly serious. You know, this week, Vladimir Putin hosted a summit of the BRICS countries. You know, this is, you know, kind of the rogues gallery, you know, China, Iran, a bunch of countries that are adversaries of the United States. They're coming together and increasingly cooperating in opposition to the United States and our European and Asian allies. You know, the prospect of North Korean troops inside of Ukraine is indicative of this threat. And Donald Trump wants to abandon the greatest alliance the world has ever seen in NATO. NATO has only ever once invoked Article 5, which is the mutual defense treaty, element of the NATO treaty. And that was after 9/11,
right,
when the United States was attacked. And our NATO allies came together in support of us in Afghanistan and in the global war on terror. You know, Donald Trump wants to abandon that and turn all of our relationships into transactions. That's not how we make America strong. America alone is not America strong. And that's what his version of America First amounts to. And the other thing is, he is perversely attracted to and has outsized affection and fealty to dictators.
Yes.
To Xi Jinping, to Vladimir Putin. It's almost as if he wants to join the BRICS and, you know, join with his fascist buddies rather than stand up for the principles and the values that have long defined the United States of America.
Yeah,
that's frightening.
He has authoritarian envy.
Exactly.
He does.
Exactly.
He does. It's Viktor Orban of Hungary he keeps praising. He said it just this week, North Korea and China necessarily our enemies? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. Are they? We're going to continue our conversation with Susan Rice, former UN ambassador and former U.S. National Security Advisor. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a spooky edition of your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about a killer. A slow, steady, silent killer of your money.
Most horror stories wait till the third act to reveal the monster. But let's just get it over with. Today, I'm talking about procrastination. Yep, thinking you can wait to invest or save money is one of the worst things you can do to it or for it or about it. I mean, look, we all put things off. But every year we wait to get started with investing and saving is a huge cost to our long-term financial plans. Because of the little effort, which I know can be hard, and a little help, you can take control of your money. And even keep away procrastination, the silent money killer. This is Carrie Joy saying, be safe out there and take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we're talking corruption. This week on the Maggie Dawn Show, she welcomed on David Sirota, the founder and editor-in-chief of The Lever, an investigative news outlet focused on exposing corruption in America. The pair talk Elon Musk and the massive tax breaks that he would receive if Donald Trump were elected.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My special guest today, his name is David Sirota. He is a journalist. He's a screenwriter. He's worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign. This guy's done it all. And now he's helping expose government corruption. He's founded and is the editor-in-chief of a new online publication called Lever. We're going to put the link to the absolutely groundbreaking bombshell piece he just did on the quid pro quo that's going on between Donald Trump and Elon Musk to help Elon Musk get billions in tax breaks if Donald Trump is elected. But David, you're telling me that this is not just a one-off. We've had a 50-year movement to basically make corruption in government legal. Tell us more.
So our audio series is called Master Plan. People can find it at masterplanpodcast.com. Our series tells the story of how from the Watergate era to today, there was a plan executed by specific people with a specific agenda to deregulate the campaign finance system and legalize bribery. That sounds like a conspiracy theory, but they, in many ways, they wrote it all down. So it's not a, it's a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy theory. This started with something called the Powell Memo. The Powell Memo was a memo written for the Chamber of Commerce by a guy named Lewis Powell, who at the time, this is in 1971, who at the time was the head of the American Bar Association and a tobacco industry lawyer, at the sort of prominent peak of the establishment. He writes this memo to the Chamber of Commerce. This is a moment when the corporate types are scandalized and very enraged and aggravated by Ralph Nader. Because Ralph Nader and the larger grassroots movements that he participated in were winning all sorts of things from government. The government had become, in Lewis Powell's mind, too responsive. I mean, remember, this is the era of Medicare, Medicaid, the civil rights laws, the voting rights laws, the EPA, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. I mean, the government.
You know, the good old days.
I mean, just like the. So if you're Lewis Powell, if you're his corporate cronies, you're looking out at the world and you're like, the government is too responsive to the democracy. And we have to, we corporate types, the oligarchs, the elite have to fight back. That's what his memo is all about. And his memo, there's a lot of things in his memo, but two of the things that it focuses on are the judiciary and the campaign finance system. And so subsequently from the memo in 1971, by the way, Lewis Powell, soon after that memo, gets installed on the Supreme Court, where he will come back to haunt our dreams. I'll tell you about that in a minute. It ends up creating a lot of these groups, conservative groups, that we've now gotten used to, the Heritage Foundation, the Pacific Legal Foundation, et cetera, the whole right-wing infrastructure is sort of inspired and built from this memo. And very soon after the memo happens, Watergate happens, and there is the post-Watergate campaign finance reforms which are then immediately limited by the Supreme Court in that Buckley v. Valeo ruling, engineered in part by the Chamber of Commerce and the likes, to create the legal doctrine that money is not corruption. Money in politics is constitutionally protected speech, which is the basic building block of everything that subsequently comes. What comes right after Buckley v. Valeo is Lewis Powell himself is now on the court. He works, we have all these never before reported documents about this. Lewis Powell works behind the scenes at the Supreme Court to take that ruling and effectively apply it to corporations, saying yes. Corporations have an unlimited, constitutionally protected First Amendment right to spend whatever they want to spend in elections. That's called the Bilotti ruling. The Bilotti ruling becomes the most cited ruling in the Citizens United ruling. Now, that's a very truncated way of telling the story, and a lot of the story focuses on how the Federalist Society grows up out of the Powell memo to focus on the courts and ultimately switch the courts over to the Roberts courts and what that means. But just to be clear, all of the corruption we're living in, it may seem like a natural inevitability, but it is not. It is an artificial reality created by specific people with a specific agenda. And you might wonder, well, why would they want to legalize corruption? Why would they want to deregulate the campaign finance system? Because I think they understood that their agenda, their self-enriching agenda, is not a popular agenda that can get enacted in a one-person, one-vote democracy, that they needed to use the one thing they have a disproportionate amount of. They don't have a disproportionate amount of the votes. They have a disproportionate amount of the money. So if they can use the money to obtain a disproportionate amount of the power, they rig the one-person, one-vote system that's supposed to be there into essentially what you would call, I think fairly, an oligarchy.
Yes. When you layer this on with the history of the Electoral College and the fact that the Electoral College today bears no resemblance to what it was when it was created, we didn't have winner-take-all states. Wow, we have really worked ourselves into a weakened state of democracy here in this
country. Well, as I say this, people are worried about democracy in the election and Donald Trump, and I totally understand that worry. But I've sort of glibly say this, and darkly funny, I guess. If you're worried about the democracy crisis, let me tell you about the 50-year plot to have every election bought, every piece of legislation bought, every court ruling bought. That's the deeper democracy crisis thrumming underneath everything.
He is the symptom, but is not himself the cancer. And even if we eradicate Trump, there will be the next version, which will be slicker and less offensive and much, much more dangerous. David Serrata, folks, my great thanks to you for your time today, sir. We're coming up on it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, last thoughts, David, I'm going to give them to you. Speak to Wisconsin voters.
Yeah, listen, I would say you're in the hot seat. Look, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up being in the hot seat, too. Wisconsin voters are really in the hot seat. I would say, you know, keep in mind that there is an acute democracy crisis. I think Donald Trump is a real threat to democracy. But after the election, no matter who wins, remember that corruption is not something we have to tolerate.
Money is not speech and corporations are not people. Thank you, David Serrata.
Thank you.
We will put the link to his article, Master Plan Podcast, all in the show notes. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's running in the 8th Congressional District, one of those down ballot elections that makes such a big difference, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, the mayor is back, and Civic Media's Brittany Merlot joins us with her look at the week's forecast. Angela Cheslock also visits from New Day Women's Shelter in Green Bay. See you then.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.